Please turn your Bibles to Jeremiah 39:16. What we're picking up here is, for those that have been following us, last week, after decades of Jeremiah warning the Jewish people, if you don't turn away from your sin, then God is going to allow the Babylonians to come and wipe this city out. For a review, what was God's salvation plan that was communicated through Jeremiah to all the sinners, idolatrous, child-killing people that were calling themselves Jews? What was their salvation plan? Because if they didn't repent, then what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to go to Babylon. And that was the, and so really, in a sense, what God was doing is taking this whole population of Jews, people named after his name, his chosen people, and what was he able to accomplish? He was able to accomplish sifting them. I'm going to send you a prophet. If you listen to him, you're going to defect to Babylon. And if you do that, you're going to be the faithful remnant of a small portion of the Jewish people that listened to God through the prophet Jeremiah. And as a result, they're going to be preserved to come back into the land decades later. And everybody else, they have a different plan. The Bible says, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge God, and he will direct your paths. Remember it says that? And so the prophet Jeremiah was, don't lean on your own understanding, acknowledge God, defect to the pagan Babylonians. Now they could have been thinking, how can that be God's plan? Well, if they did it, they survived. Everybody that didn't do it that stayed in the city, they just got killed. Last week we covered that. Babylon came in, killed them all except for a small number of people that were then shackled in chains, and they're being led off to Babylon to come back decades later. A small portion of those come back later. But, and up till now, that's all we see is the people that stayed and were judged and the people that went to Babylon. But today we're going to find out there was people that ran off to Jordan. Were they supposed to do that? No, Jordan wasn't a salvation plan. Going to Egypt isn't a salvation plan. Nothing was a salvation plan except God's one way, the way, the truth, the life. And I'm trying to make an analogy here. What is God's salvation plan now? You've got to believe in Jesus. And are there people that have other ways, other belief systems? You know, I'm going to go to Jordan. I'm going to go be a Mormon. I'm going to go be a Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm going to go to Egypt. I'm going to go, you know, be a Catholic. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Because this Jesus thing, we just don't, you know, I mean, really, we have to really confess that we're sinners deserving of hell? I don't want to do that. Well, then this lesson today is God sifts everybody. Everybody that doesn't want to listen to him, they all end up being judged. And there's different ways people don't listen to God, but they all end up being judged. And we see that here today. And so, and we're reviewing what we ended with last week, which is just before the destruction of Jerusalem, God tells Jeremiah to prophesy to Ebed-Melech about how God is going to spare his life because Babylon's going to come into the town, and Ebed-Melech would have thought, I'm going to die because I'm here in the town. But he saved Jeremiah's life. He feared God. And because of that, God's saying, you are righteous. Even though you didn't defect to the Babylonians, you're going to live. And so that's what he says in verse 16. Go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for adversity. The city is going to be destroyed. And not for good. And they shall be performed in that day before you. But I will deliver you, Ebed-Melech, in that day, says the Lord, and you shall not be given into the hand of the men to whom you are afraid, for I will surely deliver you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but your life shall be a prize to you, because you have put your trust in me, says the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on our own understanding, and all of our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Because you trust me. So everybody that's going to go to heaven are people that put their trust in Jesus. That he truly is going to accomplish what he promised me, which is to forgive me of all of my sins, because I died to self, said, God, forgive me, a sinner, and humbly came to the creator of the universe who wants to save me. Everybody else that doesn't do that ends up judged. So, chapter 40. So Jerusalem did get destroyed in last chapter. More details about how Jeremiah is allowed to be spared as well. Chapter 40, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, so he's the head general for Nebuchadnezzar, had let him go from Ramah when he had taken him bound in chains among all who were carried away captive from Jerusalem and Judah, who were carried away captive to Babylon. So we find out from this verse that when they killed everybody, they didn't kill Jeremiah, who's an old man. I mean, he's an old man. But they put him in chains to be one of the ones to carry off to Babylon. And then the word comes from Nebuchadnezzar down to his general, you know, find Jeremiah and let him go. So he's being led away to Babylon in chains, but is now told. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said to him, the Lord your God has pronounced this doom on this place. Now the Lord has brought it and has done just as he said. And I'm going to add here, as you said, because they know who Jeremiah is. So your God brought this doom on that. Your God used us, a pagan nation, to do what you said because God told you to tell these people, and now it's happened. And why did it happen? Here's this pagan general saying, because you people have sinned against the Lord and not obeyed his voice, therefore this thing has come upon you. Isn't that amazing? That we know, we were used by your God to bring judgment to you because you're supposed to be different than us, but you weren't. You were worshiping idols and sacrificing your children. And God disciplined you, and Jeremiah, you were used by God to tell them that. And they didn't listen to you, and so we're doing God's judgment bidding. And now look, I free you this day from the chains that were on your hand. If it seems good to you to come with me to Babylon, come and I will look after you. But if it seems wrong to you to come with me to Babylon, remain here. See, all the land is before you. Wherever it seems good and convenient for you to go, go there. You are free. Now put yourself in Jeremiah's place. Young man, he's told by God, go talk to these people. I don't want to do that. I want you to do it anyway. God says, I want you to do it anyway. They're not going to listen to me. I know. They're not going to listen to you for decades. They're going to try and kill you. They almost do kill you. They're an obstinate people. They haven't listened to a thing you've said. And so then you have, go back to the people that are left behind. Certainly they're all going to repent because they see all the judgment that came, just like Jeremiah said. They're going to embrace Jeremiah and they're going to say, you're our man and we just love having you as a prophet. But he would have been thinking, that ain't going to happen. Or he could have gone, you know, I'll go to Babylon because King Nebuchadnezzar will take care of me. And I know it's going to be 70 years from 605 until they come back. I will live my final days probably eating well, being fine. What do you think a man of God is going to do? Is he going to look for the easy street? He's going to go back to the people because that's what he's called to do. And so, you know, I would sit there and I would be going, God, can I retire? I want to go to Babylon. And he would say, no, you're not going to retire. And so I'd do it. Hopefully I'd do what Jeremiah did. So now while Jeremiah had not gone back, Nebuzaradan said, go back to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon has made governor over the cities of Judah. Now, is Gedaliah a good guy? He fears God. His dad had already saved Jeremiah's life earlier on. So he's really saying, you know, it'll be okay. Gedaliah's there. He's a good man. Babylon, we Nebuchadnezzar are trusting a good man, a good Jewish man that fears God, to now do what we tell him to do, and you'll be back there, and it'll be good with you, for you. Or go wherever it seems convenient for you to go. So the captain of the guard gave him his rations and a gift and let him go. So he got thoroughly fed and a gift to go and make sure that he would have enough food. Then Jeremiah went to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, which is a city that's kind of between Jerusalem and Bethel, and dwelt with him among the people who were left in the land. Now again, Jeremiah 26:24 makes it clear that Ahikam saved Jeremiah's life. Ahikam is the father of Gedaliah. Gedaliah was a God-fearing man by all accounts. And when all the captains of the armies of Israel, it's talking about verse 7, when all the captains of the armies of Israel who were in the fields, they had gone to go hide in the fields, they had gotten out of Jerusalem, and they didn't go to Babylon, but they hid in the hill country, probably a bunch of them in the caves around, you know, the Dead Sea and stuff like that. They had hidden away. They and their men heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, governor in the land, and had committed to him men, women, children, and the poorest of the land who had not been carried away captive to Babylon. Then they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah, and then Ishmael, and circle him and say, bad guy. And Ishmael sounds like, you know, the Ishmael of Hagar, but he's a bad guy, but he's actually in the royal line. He's a descendant of Solomon. So he's in the royal line to become king. And we're going to see here, he was hiding in Jordan. He had gone to go hide, part of the royal line of the family. And what happened to the other royal line that was sticking with dad, Zedekiah? What happened last week to them? They all got killed in front of Nebuchadnezzar. Brought all the royal line, put them in front of Nebuchadnezzar, killed them all. So he survived. So he would have known that had happened. So he knows he's one of the smaller, you know, number of survivors of the royal line. So son of Nethaniah and Jehonan and Jonathan, the sons of all these different people. Verse 9, and Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shephan, took an oath before them and their men, saying, do not be afraid to serve the Chaldeans, dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. So in a sense, Gedaliah is listening to the prophecies of Jeremiah, saying, we surrender to the Babylonians. We stop saying we're Jews, we don't sit under anybody. And so he's saying, they left me here, I'm going to do what Nebuchadnezzar says, so I have surrendered to Nebuchadnezzar. And he made these people that are coming back, even the royal line that are coming back, we're going to make an oath right now. As the Lord God of Israel lives, we are going to submit to Babylon here, because we've been left here to do that. And they go, amen. That's what they did. Did they believe that? Did they follow through with that? They swore an oath. So Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shephan, took an oath before them and their men, saying, do not be afraid to serve the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. And it would have been well. But what's the nature of these people that went off and ran and did something different than Jeremiah told them? They're rebellious. They lean on their own understanding. They don't trust God. They don't trust God for what he's saying and what Jeremiah is going to say. As a result, they're going to be judged. As for me, verse 10, I will indeed dwell at Mizpah and serve the Chaldeans in obedience to Jeremiah, who came to us. But you gather wine and summer fruit and oil, put them in your vessels and dwell in your cities that you have taken. I'm going to stay in this city, and I'm going to oversee everybody that's here. And I'm saying, go, and, you know, almost everybody's dead. And so all these vineyards and all the crops that have come and everything else are all going to be for the picking. There's not many of you, so you'll have plenty of food. Just go and do that, live in your cities. But I'm going to be right here listening to what the Babylonians tell us to do, and I'll be your leader. Verse 11, likewise, when all the Jews who were in Moab among the Ammonites, in Edom, where are those? Where's Moab, Ammon, Edom today? They all went across the Jordan River and got away from the Babylonians, and they went over and hid themselves in those nations. Is that what God told them to do? No. They're rebellious against God. And who were in all the countries heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant of Judah, and that they had set over them Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shephan. Then all the Jews returned out of all places where they had been driven and came to the land of Judah to Gedaliah at Mizpah and gathered wine and summer fruit in abundance. So these are rebellious people who had not done what God said, defect to the Babylonians, but in a way they're kind of doing it at this point because, you know, Gedaliah is saying we're going to submit. We're going to do what the Babylonians say. Moreover, Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were in the fields came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. So everybody's coming out of the woodwork. And said to him, Johanan says to Gedaliah, do you certainly know that Balas, the king of the Ammonites, Jordan, has sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, to murder you? So Ishmael had run to the Ammonites, and the Ammonite king took another royal line Jew, and says, okay, you're a royal line Jew. And so they made some kind of a pal thing going on. And so an Ammonite king is telling Ishmael, go kill Gedaliah. I want you to assassinate him. And so what is he? He's a complete traitor. He was a Jew in name only. He had gone and lived among the kings of the Ammonites and was doing what they said instead of what God said. And he's royal line. So what's he thinking? Babylon's not going to decide who, in a sense, the king of Israel is, Gedaliah. I'm in the royal line. I'm going to kill him, and I'm going to be in charge, and I'm going to take the people, and we're going to get out of Israel and out of Babylon. We'll wait for a better day, is what I'm thinking he's thinking. Then Jonathan, the son of Kareah, spoke secretly to Gedaliah. Johanan, the son of Kareah, spoke secretly to Gedaliah in Mizpah, saying, let me go, please, and I will kill Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and no one will know it. Why should he murder you so that all the Jews who are gathered to you would be scattered and the remnant in Judah perish? Which is what happens. And why did, and really for years and years and years, I've read this passage and I go, why God, this is just crazy. They just die. No matter what, they're just dying. And it's really, when you look at the fact, these people were all in rebellion. And so what God does is lets Gedaliah get killed. And then he exposes all these people for who they really are, which are completely rebellious against God and continuing to worship the Queen of Heaven. We're going to find out next week or 2 weeks from now because Abraham's going to teach next week. And so God says, okay, I'm going to tell you what to do. You're not going to do it. And as a result of that, you're going to die. And is that what he tells our world today? I'm going to tell you what to do. Humble yourself, admit that you're a sinner, come to faith in Jesus Christ, my son, we so loved you, he died on the cross for your sins, give your life to him, trust in him for the rest of your life, no matter what, and you'll have everlasting life, and I'll give you a new body that's not going to ever be tempted again, and you'll live in paradise forever. Not going to happen. Then you're going to be judged. It's just simply, we do what God says on the salvation plan, or we suffer the consequences, which is death. For these people, it was physical death along with spiritual death. Now, the death is really meaning spiritual death. They won't have life. And so Gedaliah is going to be in heaven. But his life was sacrificed because God said, no, I'm going to make you be a good guy. And that guy wouldn't. The royal line would never come and assassinate me and cause the nation to struggle. But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, said to Johanan, the son of Kareah, you shall not do this thing, for you speak falsely concerning Ishmael. He's a good guy. He would never do that. Are wicked men capable of doing anything? Should we be surprised if all these assassination warnings that we're hearing about Trump, should we be surprised if that's, the reality of our world? Would we be surprised if it actually happens? No. And then we could sit there and say, God, we have great hopes for the coming. I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm just saying our attitude has to be, we have great hopes. People are putting their trust in Trump instead of Jesus. We have great hopes. If it doesn't happen, if there isn't a revival in the country to bring us back, why is it? Because we're a bunch of sinful people in this country that have rejected God. And we're bringing the judgment of God upon us, just like the Jews brought the judgment of God upon us. And things are not going to happen to get us out of that if the people don't change their heart to turn away from the wickedness and the sinfulness and the rebellion against God. Chapter 41. Verse 1, now it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, son of Elishma, of the royal family, that's how we know he's a descendant of Solomon, and of the officers of the king, came with 10 men to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, at Mizpah, and there they ate bread together in Mizpah. We're all Republicans, right? And then the traitor goes, then Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men who were with him arose and struck Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, with a sword and killed him, whom the king of Babylon had made governor over the land. Ishmael also struck down all the Jews that were with him, that is, with Gedaliah at Mizpah, and he killed the Chaldeans who were found there, the men of war. So there were Babylonians that were there helping Gedaliah, making sure everything's good. And so they didn't just kill Gedaliah. They killed the Babylonians that Nebuchadnezzar had left there to keep in control of things. And it happened on the second day after he had killed Gedaliah, when as yet no one knew it, that certain men came from Shechem, from Shiloh, and from Samaria. Where is that? Where are those places? Northern Israel. Now, are these Jews supposed to be from up in northern Israel? So what did they do? They had their bomb shelters and their survival tunnels up in the northern Israel. They had gotten away from Babylon. Is that what they were supposed to do? What were they supposed to do? They were supposed to have defected to Babylon and gone to Babylon. Because if you defected early on in the early years of Jeremiah's warning, you defected, you're already there. And who's ministering to you as a prophet there? Ezekiel. Ezekiel's ministering to the people that were already in Babylon. They weren't supposed to just find a little hiding place up in northern Israel. But that's what they did. 80 men with their beards shaved and their clothes torn, having cut themselves with offerings, cut themselves with offerings and incense in their hand to bring them to the house of the Lord. So, how do the people from the north come to make offerings to the Lord when the temple has been completely destroyed and burned down? How do they do that? They don't do that unless they're going to find some high place to worship idols in the land. They know the temple's destroyed. They know the right way to worship is gone. Turn to Deuteronomy 14:1 real quick. It's just a short little passage here. So what does it say they do? They shave their beard. Is that something that the Jews are supposed to do? And you're not supposed to cut your beard or cut yourself for the dead. And so they're all grieved about what's going on. And so the word of God, they're violating the word of God. Chapter 14, verse 1, you are the children of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves nor shave the front of your head for the dead, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. And that's what the pagans do. So were they violating that? They were cutting themselves. What is it that causes people to cut themselves? It's rebellion against God. It's the devil. Is cutting is a problem in our culture today? We've been watching it increase all the time. People want to just cut them. Why do they want to cut themselves? Well, there is a physiological issue of you get a dopamine rush when you do it because you're so desensitized through all the social media stuff and, people have looked into it. So there's a dopamine rush, but it's rebellion against God. It's Satan that's deceiving people into do this. So they're not super spiritual Jews. They didn't listen to Jeremiah. And they're in rebellion against God. So, chapter 41, verse 6, going back there. Now Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, went out from Mizpah to meet them, weeping as he went along. So now he's, oh man, isn't it terrible what's happened? The Septuagint says, weeping as they went along. So he might have joined them and they're weeping because of all the things that have happened, crying. Ishmael is pretending to be along with them weeping. And it happened as he met them that he said to them, come to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam. Where's Gedaliah? In the grave. So he's being honest. Come and join Gedaliah. So it was when they came into the midst of the city that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, killed them and cast them into the midst of the pit, he and his men who were with him. So, hey, come on with me. Come on. And then he kills him. He murders him. And again, I'm sitting there going, why did he even do that? God is allowing wickedness and murder just sift out the ones that had rebelled against him. And if you go to Jeremiah 24:8, in fact, let's go to Jeremiah 24:8. Had Jeremiah warned the people in his prophecies years earlier, Jeremiah 24 is years earlier, had he warned the people, you've got to go to Babylon. If you try and sneak away to your tribulation bunker and you think that that's where you're supposed to hang out, you're going to die. He told them that. So all these people did that. And he's telling them, you're going to be judged. And it was God had given them, you know, hey, Jeremiah, look at this. You got a bag of figs, and they're just really, really nice figs. Good to eat. And then you have all these rotten figs. What do you see? I see a bag of good figs and rotten figs. The good figs are the ones that are going to go to Babylon. They're going to survive. Rotten figs are the ones that rebel. And they don't go to Babylon. And as the bad figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so bad. Surely thus says the Lord, so will I give up Zedekiah, the king of Judah, his princes, the residue of Jerusalem who remain in this land, and those who dwell in the land of Egypt. Some had escaped to Egypt. I will deliver them to trouble into all the kingdoms of the earth for their harm, to be a reproach and a byword, a taunt and a curse in all the places where I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them till they are consumed from the land that I gave to them and their fathers. If you try and sneak away, you're a rotten fig, and the sword that you think you're going to get away from is actually going to get you. The pestilence that you think you're going to get away from and the starvation you think you're going to get away from, you're going to get it all because you rebel. Going back to Jeremiah 41:8. But 10 men were found among them who said to Ishmael, do not kill us, for we have treasures of Costco, wheat, barley, oil, and honey hidden in our bunker. So he desisted and did not kill them among their brethren. So it's a good reason to have a stash. So when the Chinese come or whoever comes, you know what to do. Now the pit into which Ishmael had cast all the dead bodies of the men whom he had slain because of Gedaliah was the same one King Asa, the king, had made for fear of Baasha, king of Israel. Ishmael the son of Nethaniah filled it with the slain. And if you can go back and read 1 Kings 15 about that. So Baasha was trying to kill Judah. And King Asa, you know, worked out a deal with the Syrians, and he basically made this bunker pit. He made this getaway place. And so what did Ishmael do? He threw all these guys in the pit that had been made by Asa. Jeremiah 41:10. Then Ishmael carried away captive all the rest of the people who were in Mizpah, the king's daughters, all the people who remained in Mizpah, whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had committed to Gedaliah, the Babylonian captain under Nebuchadnezzar of the guard, had committed to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, and Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, carried them away captive and departed to go where? Over to the Ammonites. He's going over to the enemy of Israel, the historical enemies of Israel. He must have made some deal with the Ammonites. And what would happen if those people went there? They would have been totally conditioned into the Ammonite idol worship because they were already worshiping idols in the land of Israel because of the nations around them that were getting them into idolatry. And we're going to see proof of that in the future chapter. And there would have been Jews that got completely corrupted, and they would have maybe tried to come back into the land decades later and been like the leaven among the lump. They would have leavened what was coming back. Hey, we're Jews. We're coming back. We're in Jordan. God's going to get rid of them. But when Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him heard of all the evil that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had done, they took all the men and went to fight with Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and they found him by the great pool that is in Gibeon. They were working their way to Jericho to get across the river, the Jordan River, to get over to Ammon. So it was when all the people who were with Ishmael saw Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces who were with him, that they were glad. Hey, you know, they didn't want to go with Ishmael to the Ammonites. And so they see a bigger force of Johanan coming, and they go, all right, you know, Ishmael's gonna run, and we've been rescued to come back into the land of Israel. So they're excited. Then all the people, verse 14, then all the people whom Ishmael had carried away captive from Mizpah turned around and came back and went to Johanan, the son of Kareah. But Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, escaped from Johanan with 8 men and went to the Ammonites. So he only had 8 faithful men, and so that's why, you know, Johanan's group was more powerful, and so they took the people back. So Johanan took the people back. Verse 16, then Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him took from Mizpah all the rest of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, after he had murdered Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the mighty men of war, and the women, and the children, and the eunuchs whom he had brought back from Gibeon. And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimha, which is near Bethlehem, as they went on their way to Egypt. Now, is that the way they're supposed to go? What did God make perfectly clear in the Word of God? Are the Jews ever supposed to go back to Egypt? No. And what's the equivalent there for us? What is going back to Egypt for us? It's going back to our worldly life. Because God delivered the Jews out of the slavery of Egypt hundreds of years, centuries before this. He delivered the Jews out of the slavery of Egypt. He delivered us from the slavery of sin. And then we go to serve God. Now we're going to serve God. And have you ever known somebody that they wanted to get right with Jesus, they wanted to believe in him, but they go back to their old ways? They stop going to church. They go back to their drugging, their drinking, sexual immorality, all that stuff. You ever seen that happen? Yep, same thing. God says, don't go back to Egypt. Whatever you do, do not go back to Egypt. What were they supposed to do? They were supposed to obey God and go to Babylon. But now they're going south. And why? And do they have a reason to think that we better go south? Yeah, we killed Babylonians. And so there was a fear of continuing to do what God said, so they go back to the world. Would there be a logical fear for Christians if persecution really does come to this country? Would there be like, man, I mean, to just say I believe in Jesus means I don't get any job. I'm going to get a low social credit score. I'm not going to be able to have a job. I'm not going to be able to do this. The electronic ID system is almost here, and there's a handout about it. And that's going to be, as soon as we get a national ID that goes along with a global ID, they're going to have us all completely databased with biometrics. They're going to know, they already know all the websites you go to, what kind of news do you read. They want to censor all the alternate news, but they're letting it stay here. Why? Why would they not censor all the alternate news right now? Because they want to know who goes there. Because as soon as you go there, they database you, they know who you are, and all of a sudden, because you're a Christian, you go to Christian stations, you go to this and you do that, and you have a Christian worldview. And then when they decide to lock it all down, boy, if I confess Jesus and I just stay this way and I don't go along with what the globalists say, then they'll kill me. They'll empty my bank account. They'll do this and that. Would there be a logical reason? I got to go back to Egypt. I got to get away from my confession of Jesus. It'll be very real to people. And you know what? God's going to say, yeah, give it your shot. What are you going to do? Are you going to fear man or are you going to fear God? Yeah, are you really born again? Are you really saved? Are you really going to trust in Jesus? So none go with me, still I'm going to follow. Are you going to do that? Or are you going to go back to Egypt? They end up wanting to go back to Egypt. And they die. Want to make their way to Egypt. Verse 18, why do they want to go back to Egypt? Because of the Chaldeans, Babylon, world government. Because of the globalists. Today we'd say, because of the globalists, we got to get out of here. for they were afraid of them because Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had murdered Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon had made governor of his land in violation of a handshake that they had made. But you know what? They're going to say, I'll give you a little preamble to next week, 2 weeks from now. Okay, Jeremiah, what are we supposed to do? Whatever God says, we're going to do it. Even if it's bad, even if it's not what we want to hear, we're going to do it. And so, 10 days later, Jeremiah gets a word from God. What does God tell him to do? Don't go to Egypt. What did they do? Very predictable. How can we predict what people who have ignored the word of God for decades and relied on their own understanding, trying to run away, leaning on their own understanding, what can we predict? I need to get into the Bible. I'll do everything it says. Oh, except that. And that. Oh, I can't drink anymore. Oh, I can't. Back to Egypt. I'm going to get persecuted. Not for me. We don't get to pick and choose, do we? The Word of God has to be, we have to be all in on what God says. And this is no game. This is real. This isn't just reading history. It applies to everybody here and everybody that you love. And we need to be this emphatic when we talk to people. You don't want to be like these Jews who had a different plan. We have to embrace God's salvation plan. There is no other way. And it'll be extremely regretful. I wrote an email to a guy that I talked to, a really smart engineer guy, down in Shelton. And, he's blown off the message. And I was talking to him about the hydroplate theory, and I wrote him an email today, and I said, you know, it's okay that you blow off the hydroplate theory, because that's not what keeps you from heaven or hell, you know, or keeps you from going to heaven. But in rejecting that, I hope you're not rejecting, there was a flood, there was a judgment, there is a need for a Savior. You must come to, I beg you. I beg you, don't miss coming to Jesus. Don't miss realizing that God so loves you, He sent Jesus to save your soul. Because there was a flood. And the article I forwarded to him is the asteroid sample that they got off of Bennu, asteroid Bennu. They go, what we've learned is there's a whole bunch of organics on it. And there's a whole bunch of minerals that only form in the presence of liquid water. So this asteroid came from a liquid body. And so he blew off the hydroplate theory. And I go, physicist, how do you get liquid water on an asteroid floating around in the vacuum of space near absolute zero? So you sure you want to blow it off? Because that's pointing to the fact that the water planet Earth spit through the rupture of the great deep the debris and water up into space that became comets and asteroids, which we had spent an hour and a half talking over a restaurant table 2 weeks ago. The evidence is overwhelming, absolutely overwhelming. And so I'll see what he says. He didn't answer yet. Pray for him. His name is Jerry. Father, we thank you for your word. We just so rejoice that you've made a rescue plan, Lord, that your prophets and the apostles are all telling us the same thing Jeremiah did, which is just to embrace God's rescue plan, to embrace his salvation plan, and that salvation for us, Lord, is Jesus. And as the global government's coming again to bring judgment to this earth that has rejected you and has fought you and maligned you and blasphemed you, that it's a judgment to even the angels rejoice when they say, God, you are righteous and just because they have shed the blood of your prophets and your people and you've given them blood to drink. And Lord, the time of judgment that's coming, we can see it, even the birth pains of it coming upon the world with even these other disasters that, you know, weather disasters and pretty soon war disasters and natural disasters of the book of Revelation that are going to be coming. And even then, Revelation says that people will curse you shake their fist at you and continue to worship their idols and the immorality that they're living in. And we just want to thank you, God, for making a way for us to have life, to just come to you by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's worship God in this song. Precious song. What a precious worship song. It's so true. He gave us the Spirit, and we can know He dwells inside of us, changes us, makes us in love with His Word until the work on earth is done. And I think it's almost done. Pretty soon we're going to go home. God bless you. Keep you in His care till we can fellowship again.